ShopNow.com.
Dan Weldon may be involved in it.
All I could see was cars flying and going upside down. At that point, I just shot to the bottom as fast as I could and almost got into the inside wall from hitting the transition on a warm-up lane. And at that point, you're still just trying to slow down and seeing parts. And, it's, without a doubt, the worst thing I've ever seen in, my racing career, honestly.
Yeah, terrible, terrible tragedy in Las Vegas. Boy, things are busy in Nevada because the Republicans have gathered there for their debate. But there's a different debate that's raging, and it's happening in the world of auto racing on the death of a 33-year-old driver, Dan Weldon, who had won the Indy 500 twice, had a chance at a $5 million payday, was at the back of the pile as far as starting was concerned, and unfortunately was mixed into a crash where he was killed on the 11th lap at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway on Sunday. And he's got a wife and two sons, a two-year-old and a six-month-old. So awful for that family. In the world of sports and in the world of auto racing, they know that this is always a possibility when you're going over 220 miles an hour at times. So when the crash happened, it was a 15-car wreck. Immediately they flew him away from the track and got him to the University Medical Center. But it was just a few hours later when they officially pronounced him dead. And they say, of course, it was an accident. It was blunt trauma to the head because of the collision. And the car flipped over. And now there are a lot of people that are talking about whether or not IndyCar racing should return to the 1.5-mile oval that they use. And right now people are supporting that somewhat, that maybe that you need to go away from that and go to street racing. But that was part of the problem. The street racing wasn't American-friendly because think of NASCAR and the popularity of that and the whole track thing. So I think there's going to be a lot of debating over it. In fact, Jimmy Johnson talked about that very thing, the dangers of the ovals, as he has a lot of buddies who race in the Indy League. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. didn't throw his two cents in on that. In fact, was reluctant to really talk about it. Remember, his father died at the Daytona 500. Dale Earnhardt Sr. So he knows what that's about. He knows the dangers of racing, of course, growing up in that family and being one, being a driver himself, but also losing his father. So take a listen.
There's a racer in me that wants to, but I know how dangerous those cars are. And yesterday was proof to, the danger of those vehicles on ovals. And I think it really boils down to the fact that it's why, I guess if you really look at the big picture and why we run restrictor plates, it's so the cars stay on the ground. And it doesn't matter the type of race car. If it's off the ground, you cannot control it in an accident.
He was really a great guy, really nice person, and very friendly, and just, real pleasure to be around. And it's a tough deal. I can't imagine how everybody, his family and everybody in that series is dealing with it. I can imagine it's pretty tough.
You've been through that experience before with a family member. Talk about what they're probably going through right now.
I'd rather not. That's a little bit personal.
All right, so that was Dale Earnhardt Jr. there at the end talking about how it was personal and having to talk about that. So here we have tragedy in Nevada in this race. They don't finish the race. They end up instead deciding to do a tribute to Dan Weldon and slowly go around the track for 5 laps. Oof. Wow. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start. In case you hadn't heard it, whether you're a sports fan or not or know anything about racing, a lot of people were talking about this story today. And I think partially his age and the kids left behind and all that kind of stuff. And as I said, this is part of what could possibly happen in racing. We're not going to debate the oval versus the road course, but we can debate whether you are debate weary because the Republicans are doing another one. Frankly, I think why not? They're free. If you can't tune in for some of them, you can tune in for a few others. If you're wondering what kind of questions are going to come up and how the person that you might like is going to answer them, it's a perfect way to see them in different arenas, if you will. Last time was really all about economics, and it was a round table. And this time around, it'll be in Las Vegas, and it's going to be right there at the craps table. No, I'm kidding. It's not going to be at the craps table, but it will be, I am certain, focused on economics. And, of course, the reason why is the people in Nevada have had it the worst. The unemployment is sky high there, and the foreclosure rate is crazy. The foreclosure rate in Las Vegas is scary, and in Nevada, all over Nevada, they're having a lot of problems. People bought high, can't dump houses, or walking away from houses, you know, that whole walk-away thing. I think of all the states, Nevada is the worst when it comes to that, where people just say, forget it, it's a wash, that's what I'm doing, because it doesn't make any sense for me to stay in this upside-down, crazy situation. All right, somebody said to me today, would you like Obama better if he would not take a paycheck? There's a suggestion floating around because of the deficit that is killing us, that everybody in Congress and at all levels take a pay cut. So the executive branch, et cetera. Everybody just take a pay cut because maybe that just chips away a little bit at the deficit, but certainly it couldn't hurt, right? If they threw in, and, you know, that's a laugher, because there's not enough money when you think of $14 trillion. We had our financial man on the other night, Saul Alvin, my buddy, who said he's looked at numbers from the time he was three and different economies. And I said to him, so what, in your opinion, what's the solution? And he has the Ron Paul solution. Get out of foreign lands, because we are broke. We cannot afford it. We might still be a superpower. We might have the best military in the land, whether it's a voluntary military or not, but we cannot afford, unless a situation is completely explosive, then we go in and play rescuer. But other than that, we cannot burn through more money. If we brought all the troops home, that would throw back at least $1 trillion. And I don't think that's happening. I mean, we're definitely going to have boots on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan for the rest of my life, probably down the line. Because now we've already been there. We're not going to just completely, even if they ultimately are standing on their own, we're not going to completely rip out of either one of those countries. How does that make you feel? And then there's that situation with Iran. You want to throw in your 2 cents? 800-259-5791. We're going to the B-side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Coming up here on ATM with me, Kate Delaney. Hey, we're going to check your emails, always overflowing. And some of you have sent me emails saying, when are you going to check the mailbag? So we'll do that in our next segment. First, let's go to a very patient Tomas in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
I wouldn't really. I didn't have to wait that long. You cool?
All right, well, that's
cool
good.
Me.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, today, Rush Limbaugh actually said, you're not going to believe this, but I agreed with Ron Paul on something, and it was his recent budget proposal to cut $1 trillion, like you said, the first year and bounce the budget in 3 years. Just put it on your Facebook, Kate.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's apparently, the only person out there that's running for president that wants to balance the budget in 3 years. Everybody else talks about these 10-year plans to, you know, reduce the budget. Or there's another guy, though, that says he'll balance the budget in 10 years. And it's Justin Amash, a freshman congressman. And he is the freshman congressman that votes against his party more than anyone else. He happens to be from my district, actually. He's my congressman.
Really?
Yeah, I've talked to him a couple of times. I think you should interview him because he's coming out now with something called the Common Ground Caucus. And I posted a message that he sent to me on your Facebook, and it says that the caucus is new and does not seem to have a website yet. So it's really, really new. But the basis for the caucus is, you cannot join it unless you bring someone from the opposing party with you to join. You see?
Really? Justin Amash. We'll have to talk to him. I like that idea.
Yeah, he is the most transparent congressman or senator in the entire government. Every vote he posts on Facebook. Okay, so and
no
you know
kidding.
he catches all kinds of hell from everybody sometimes, cause, you know, but I think you should interview him and
I will
especially find out something about that Common Ground Caucus. And, yeah, I think we got to just say, you know what, next year, no foreign country is getting any help from the USA until
yeah.
we get ourselves squared away. I mean, look at Israel. They get $3 billion a year. And you know, things can't be that bad, Kate, when you ask for, you're going to return 1,000 terrorists, you can get one soldier back. You know, things can't be that bad.
Well, I agree.
Or you wouldn't do that, you know. So things are definitely getting better over there. I mean, they have nuclear bombs. Come on. They have more nuclear bombs than all the Muslims on all the earth put together. So they, you know, it's like a kid comes up and says, man, I'm getting beat up. And you teach him karate and judo and jiu-jitsu, and you give him a couple of submachine guns, and you send him back out of the street, and then he comes back and says, I need some more help. You don't need no more help, boy. You know?
I agree.
All right, well, hey, that's my little report for today, and have a great show.
All right, thanks. Good stuff. Justin Amash, thanks. Appreciate that, Tomas. That's a good tip. I didn't know very much about him, of course. As he said, he's a freshman, or he's starting to get a little bit of buzz, and he represents his area. That makes sense, but I would like to talk to him about how that's going and how many people are jumping in on that. Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Yeah, hi, Kate. You know, one of the neo-Marxist pinko liberal leaders of this apple pie in Wall Street or Occupy Wall Street, it's up in Toronto right now. We call it maple syrup and Bay Street. We call Wall Street Bay Street in Toronto. Right? Have you ever heard of Bay Street?
I have.
Yeah, it's our Wall Street. Anyway, this is one of the dumbest things. I've heard pinkos and liberals say stupid things, but he said that capitalism and free enterprise has proven that it cannot deliver the necessities of life. And, you know, obviously that guy has no trouble getting pot. I think capitalism is providing that guy with all the pot that he needs, right? No, isn't that one of the dumbest things you've ever heard a pinko say? Have you ever heard a pinko say anything dumber than that?
It is an odd, twisted statement, yes.
Yeah, you know, do you know anybody in America who is literally, have you ever heard of anybody who starved to death involuntarily? In other words, there are some people, there's some lunatics that might starve themselves to death, but have you ever heard of anybody in the USA who starved to death because he just absolutely couldn't find food anywhere?
I've heard of kids that are really hurting, though,
yeah,
Al.
But their
kids that
are doing it to them.
Yeah, they're neglected, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an adult. Have you ever heard of any adults that start
no.
in North America?
No.
So, you know, we in North America, Canada, and United States and Canada, free enterprise and capitalism has given us the higher standard of living in the world, right? To
right.
People on welfare in the USA are 10 times better than a rich person in Africa, right? I mean,
right.
it's ridiculous, and you know, and another thing, this idea when Bush 2 and Obama bailed out all of these banks and car companies or whatever, that's not capitalism, that's welfare. When you give interest-free loans, I know Chrysler and Ford or Chrysler and GM, they paid all of that money back to the president, got all of that money back from Chrysler and GM, didn't he?
He did, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, but it was basically no interest. They didn't make any. They didn't pay any interest, or did they pay interest?
No. Mm-hmm.
It was an interest-free loan.
Yes.
And if they couldn't pay it back, then Washington would have got stiffed, right? If they couldn't
right.
pay, I don't think Washington is. Well, maybe would the president have started repossessing GM and Chrysler?
Well, you can. How could you do that? Especially
well,
since we own it, because
yeah,
it's you know, government
yeah.
motors now.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also, Kate, I got another thing here. On our PBS up here, Canadian PBS, they ran a half-an-hour documentary on the Texas penal system and how they're shutting down all the prisons. According to this report, most of the prisons in Texas are being shut down, and all of the prisoners are prancing out, and they're planting flowers, and they're going to drug rehab, and they're going to drug treatment centers and alcohol rehab centers. And we don't need prisons anymore in Texas because we love all our thugs down here in Texas. and Prime Minister Harper is going to get tough on violent criminals. You still have tons and tons of violent criminals in jail in Texas, but if you listen to this report, you'd almost think that nobody was going to jail in Texas. And it's just this idea that if you give a criminal a drug treatment center, drug treatment, then that's going to solve all the problems. There's more problems than drugs is a problem, but it costs a lot of money to build a prison. Our prisons should be making money for the government. Our prisons should be centers of correctional cap. I believe in correctional capitalism. The prisons should be manufacturing products that people need. And there should be competition. Say, the biggest prison in Texas should be competing with the biggest prison in Florida to see who can make the most profit for the taxpayers and themselves. And when they get out, they learn to trade. Isn't that a better idea than having somebody sit in a cell for 10 years?
Yeah, and waste away and go and, well, they supposedly can get a GED or do other things. Use it as a profit center. Turn it into a profit center.
Every prison should be a factory. Every prison should be a processing plant. And it should be I believe in democratic capitalism. Every employee should be a stockholder, and every prisoner in jail should be a stockholder. And then give the prisoners, prisoners can be stockholders in their own company. They stay in jail. Obviously, they're not going to be out running around free, but as long as they keep them in the slammer and make them stockholders in the company. And when they get out, they got a bunch of money to, start up their own business or, put out journeyman carpenters. Anyway, Kate, love your show. Thanks.
Thanks, Al. I just was following that twisted tail end of what Al had to say there about, okay, so our violent criminals could work in a factory atmosphere in the prison, and then they would be stockholders in that company, and they'd get out, they'd have a bunch of money. There'd be a bunch of people that'd be hopping mad about that. There's one problem with that theory, Al, is that we're paying for them to be incarcerated. So then we would encourage incarceration. Whew, unemployment, it's brutal. I can't find a job. You know what? I'm just going to knock off a few liquor stores, get arrested, get my job in jail, and save some money so that when I get out, I got this loot, and maybe I could start my own business, and I could cash in my stock. Are you kidding? You know, there's so many problems with the prison system. I don't even know where to begin. The overcrowding situation, the ridiculousness that we saw in California, the expense, so you've got overcrowded, too expensive state budgets that can't bear the burden, but then you have criminals and that can be repeat offenders. Recidivism rates are huge depending on what the crime is. And I don't know about all of you, but, you know, it's like you have these iPhone apps now that tell you about where people are, somebody who's a sexual predator. Oh, look, there's 10 in your neighborhood. It's a crazy Facebook app. And if you're a parent, that has to scare you to death. And who knows what they did and what they were charged with and ultimately what they were convicted of. But I don't think people want to see violent criminals making a whole bunch of money then getting let go. Stay with us.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no Social Security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
So the people that don't know what it's about. Go down the club that don't think I'm out. But so the people that don't know what it's about.
Coming up in just a minute here on ATM, we're going to head to the mailbag. But before, we're walking in the door right now. But before we go and dip into the box, just a quick fun fact for you, although it's not very fun at all. I was looking at some U.S. Treasury numbers, and it shows that even though there's been these promises to cut spending by $100 billion this year, do you know that in 2011, in fact, spending has increased by $120 billion? So $100 billion wasn't cut out. $120 billion was increased. I mean, that's ridiculous. Remember, this was the whole idea back in November, certain people who were elected, the idea was, let's stop the out-of-control spending. So with the national debt now going to become larger than the entire economy, we have this, again, spiraling out-of-control spending. Spending. I'll say the numbers again. The promise was, we'll cut out $100 billion this year. And so many people thought, well, that's not enough. As it turns out, already in 2011, it's been increased by $120 billion. How about that? Yeah. I was looking at those numbers, the Treasury data. Thanks to Investors Business Daily, I read that, and they showed the numbers, and I just, of course, we knew it, but let's point it out. Hey, by the way, while we're arguing about all these things with the economy and jobs and this $447 billion jobs package that the president wants to see go through, here's what is happening. Here's what's already happened. Here's how far we are behind the curve once again. All right, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Let's start with this one. This comes to us from Suzanne McMahon. That's a, I like that name. We have another McMahon, Dennis McMahon. I don't think they're related. Susan McNabb, or McMahon, not McNabb, McMahon says this. Kate, I was just curious about Nail the Score. I've been meaning to call for the last 2 weeks. Did anybody nail the score? No, the score was much lower than I think a lot of us thought. The Patriots did beat the Cowboys. That was the game of the week, 20-16, and now they're 5-1, a perfect 3-0 at home. The Cowboys are 2-3. We don't care about those statistics, though. Nobody nailed the score. Nobody was really that close because the numbers were so low. My score was crazy high, and a lot of people that called in had pretty high numbers, too, but right away, I knew as soon as we saw all that defense, I thought, boy, this is going to be a tough week. And it's interesting, too, because Jay in Kentucky threw in. Remember, he called in, and he's got a $50 gas card. If anyone does nail the score this season, he's going to throw that into the pot of all the things that we're giving away. Or you could rent his cabin in the Smoky Mountains, and he'll leave a crisp $100 bill on the table for you. How about that? See, he's enterprising. Instead, what happened is, like, my guess was 38-34 Patriots. Rick in Illinois thought the Patriots would win it 28-21. And Chris in Connecticut liked 27-17 Patriots. But nobody got it on the head. And you have to nail it. You have to nail it shut. All right, since she brought up nail the score, this week was put to bed in Monday Night Football. The Jets come up with a win. Boy, they needed a win, didn't they? There are some long-suffering Jet fans. I say long-suffering. This season seems like a long-suffering season for Jet fans. They're 3-3, 3-0 at home. They pummeled the Dolphins, as they should. The Dolphins have a terrible team. They haven't won anything yet. 24-6 was the final score, if you're curious. Thought I'd throw that there. All right, let's go to another one. This one comes to us from, let's see, Chris. Chris says, Kate, I don't understand the stance on Iran. Really, do you think that Russia and China are going to jump in on the sanctions? Let's be serious about that. We know it's not going to happen. It's about time that the U.S. did something with teeth in it to take apart Iran. Of all these other places that we're invested, how can we continue to get more than sand kicked in our face by these bullies? Yeah, Iran's a serious situation. I know some people think, well, just let it alone. Who cares? They want to get a nuke. That's their business. Letting them nuke, you can't do that. I mean, they're crazy. They're so underhanded. They're in bed with Al-Qaeda. Nobody ever talks about that. We had a guest on that talked about that. And, you know, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is the fact that that's going on and people are not paying attention to that. And admittedly, I wasn't paying attention to that either. I'm just thinking of what Ahmadinejad says and what they're doing and, you know, whatnot. But some of the atrocities that are going on there and, yeah, come on. Something more than another 20th sanction has to happen. And what it is, I mean, is Russia and China, are they going to do it? Probably not if you think of the oil situation, right? That doesn't make any sense for them. That's what they'll say. So let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
I thought you were going to call that nail and pail him.
No. That's all you care about. You just want to bring her Palin house down. You want to bring the house of Palin down.
What? How can Herman Cain be a front runner now?
He is. He's in the polls anyway. I mean, he doesn't have all the leads. I mean, he's neck and neck with Mitt Romney in some cases.
I know. I mean, how's Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity going to talk him up? Going to say our black man's better than your black man or something like that?
Well, we can't argue if you. I mean, seriously, Herman Cain himself says, "Forget the race card. I'm sick of it. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. It's not part of this deal." He says, "I'm not a politician. I'm just a businessman, and that's how I'm talking. And I just say what I think. That's it."
Yeah, but his 999. You know, we got a sales tax in the state of Illinois, 7%, and 9% on top of that is gonna make it 16% tax. Buy anything, and I don't think people's going to buy much stuff at 60% sales tax. So he's going to have to do some changing around or something.
Well, what he says is it wouldn't be on used goods. It would only be on new things. So, like, if you got a used car or you got used things, it wouldn't matter. But if it's brand new things, that's where that would kick in. But you're right. That's people don't like the idea of a huge sales tax. They don't like that part of it, the whole 9%. That loses a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, figure 16% interest tax on something. You buy something new, like a car or truck, or is it food included in on this too? Groceries and gas and everything else. So that's gonna make everything pretty high. So I don't think that's gonna fly over too good once people start thinking about it.
Well, you're right. That's what's happening. People say, well, then what if it goes higher? And how can you guarantee it would be 9% anyway? So then you add up all your income and then add up all of that across the board, and you might actually be paying more. And he was questioned about that, and he said, well, there might be some people that pay more, but everybody wouldn't pay more.
Yeah. But how long is Jerry Jones going to stick with Tony Romo? One more game?
No, I think they're going to stick with Tony Romo. I do. I think what happened with the Cowboys, they should have won that game too. I think they played too cautiously in some cases. And then, of course, he did dump some interceptions, but so did Tom Brady. So that was kind of a wash. If they had won it, nobody would be talking about that. But I think they stick with him, and everybody's saying that. And here's the thing. For Cowboy fans, and there are Cowboy fans listening to us all over the country, not just in Texas, they're either on the bandwagon or off of it. They're either bashing him or they're saying, let's give him some more time.
Yeah, I don't want Jerry Jones to stick with him. They keep losing.
I think they do stick with him for a while. I mean, if they lost the next four games, let's say, and there were a bunch of interceptions, then maybe they pull him temporarily, but I don't think so. They pay too much money for him, but that doesn't mean you can't switch out a quarterback. But I don't think they do that here. I don't think so.
Would you pull him?
Would you pull him right now?
Well, more game, if you don't do very good, I'd say have to look at somebody else.
And you're going to put John Kitna in?
Yeah.
It's tough
to be gone over with.
It's tough when you do that, though, because you have to try to, of course, do that at the right moment. Otherwise, you destroy that quarterback's confidence. And is it just, you know, what's going on with that? Are other people busting routes? But I think the problem with the Cowboys is that offensive line, they have all this inexperience on that line. They had guys like Leonard Davis and Andre Girard, and they left because they didn't pay them, and then they went off to other teams. And they thought, well, you know, we'll get these aggressive young guys, and they're showing that they're screwing up, like the center.
Yeah,
the inexperience is showing up. You know, it looks good because one game, geez, you look like world beaters, and you're excited because, wow, we saved some money. And then you have Phil Costa, the center, throwing the ball up against Tony Romo's chest, and he doesn't know when he's getting the ball. I mean, how do you, when you're the quarterback, how do you deal with that? You can't. You know, what do you do there? It's funny. Thanks, Rick, that you bring up the Palins. Bristol Palin celebrating a birthday. You know how old Bristol Palin is? 21 years old. She's only 21 years old. Ooh, how about that? Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to mix in a whole bunch of different things. Some Iran talk and did you ever play an instrument in school?
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and Salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient, portable container. A $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare? By far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide. Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit BrightSideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightSideBen.com. That's www.BrightSideBen.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshiny night.
All right, for something
spread,
a little bit different, it's just on the lighter side here on America Tonight, since music is a big common denominator with so many of us, we've got the Rock Talk News Minute coming up here in just a second. But before we do that, I was reading something the other day about Ron Howard, you know, the director who's done all kinds of different things with in his career, behind the camera and, of course, in front of the camera, too. And I guess he picked up the film rights for Steven Tyler's autobiography, Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? And they're talking about a movie. Who's going to play Steven Tyler in that movie? I mean, it's probably very timely of Ron Howard because he's got all this success with the American Idol judging thing, so there's even more play for Tyler. I also saw this, that today would have been rock and roll legend Chuck Berry. Well, actually, it is his birthday. It would be Chuck Berry's birthday. You know how old Chuck Berry is? Johnny B. Goode, you know, the whole thing with the axe that he did. He certainly was influential on a lot of rock people. 85 years old. 85 years old. All right, talking about another legend. Ultimately, that's where this ends up with George Russell, as he will weave into his story Bob Dylan, and there's a good payoff here. Wait till you find out why.
I'm George Russell with your Rock Talk Radio News. Ever thought you were too old to begin a new instrument? Let me let this story inspire you. Let me start off by saying that I can play a variety of instruments. Some pretty good, some not so good. But I do remember driving my parents nuts when trying to learn them, especially the drums. In my day, they were acoustic drums, of course. They didn't have the electronic drums with headphones that nobody had to hear all of your mistakes. It was mom's pots and pans and anything else I could whack. Although I had a go with the trombone for just a very short period of time. Why? Not that I don't enjoy the instrument today, but in my day, it wasn't cool playing it in front of your friends on a Saturday night. Let's fast forward to another individual that's picking up a new instrument. That would be 70-year-old Bob Dylan. His instrument of choice, the bagpipes. Yes, Mr. Dylan has often shown an affection for things Scottish. He has cited national poet Robert Burns as a big influence and has an honorary degree from St. Andrews University in Fife. And a lot of his songs are rooted in Scottish folk tunes. While Mr. Dylan was in Glasgow to perform two concerts last week, and he stopped by the National Piping Center. Why? To pick up a set of traditional Scottish pipes. R.G. Hardy pipes, as a matter of fact. At this particular point in Mr. Dylan's career, and at 70 years old, and a very lucrative career at that, he can buy just about anything he wants, and I'm sure he got the best. But the one thing that he has to do, like everybody else, is start from scratch. He picked up the set of bagpipes, a starter package, and went and practiced. If you think you're too old to learn an instrument, think again. I'm George Russell. That's your Rock Talk Radio News.
Yeah, so there's your question. Are you ever too old to learn an instrument? You know, how many people listening to America Tonight, did you have the obligatory piano lessons? You didn't really want to take them, but your mother made you take them. Or it was a requirement at school. You had to learn how to play something. When I was in kindergarten in New York City, you had to play an instrument. And usually it was something of the easier variety. So I was the triangle chick. I just had to hit that triangle whenever we had pageants or whatever. I attempted the guitar but got bored with it after a while. And I had the obligatory piano lessons. And I don't know that that really went anywhere either. I am a lover of music, absolutely. But am I somebody who plays music? That would be a big, big no. Anybody in the audience want to share? Any of you musician types, would you cop to being in the band? 800-259-5791. Maybe that's what's wrong with Washington. They need to take breaks where they learn to play an instrument. Learn something new because you're singing the same old tune and we're sick of it. Matt, did you play anything when you were a kid?
Piano, trumpet, and drums.
Oh, drums. Did you like any of them or all of them?
I wish I stuck with piano longer than I did. I played like about 6 or 7 years.
Ooh.
And I kind of wish I kept it because I could still play a little bit, but it hasn't hung with me as like I thought it would, so I wish I played a little longer. But the drums is the one thing I played the most of, and I was in a couple bands and things like that. So, and I still play every once in a while.
Yeah, so every once in a while you still have them then.
Oh, yeah.
So you still do it. Cool. I think that's cool. The drums, I like the whole drum idea. No guitar mixed in there. That's interesting. A lot of people take guitar lessons. And an acoustic guitar, you can pick up pretty cheaply. Of course, tuning it, you know, that's a whole different thing. But the acoustic guitar has to be one of the favorites. I think it's between that and the piano. Of course, there are a lot of people that go the band route, and if you do that in high school or college, then you've had years of playing whatever it is, the tuba, the trombone, the trumpet, whatever. think of all the various instruments in a band. And a band is a good way, even there's band scholarships, there's a good chunk of people that will do that because they have a knack for it so that they can get through school. And those bands, of course, travel all over the place competing or being in various parades or whatnot. But I was curious how many of you actually play anything. Pick up an axe now and then, maybe something else, and try to play. That used to be the Christmas gift. The musical instruments used to be huge to give kids, but not just kids, but to give adults too. It's one of those gifts for big birthdays. Give them something different, something that they haven't done before, and sometimes that turns out to be it. I wonder how many people too with pianos. I mean, how many houses do you go in anymore and see pianos? When I was little, I remember going into a lot of houses where they had a piano. I mean, it was like a baby grand, huge, stacked, unbelievable piano. But I remember a lot of people that I knew had them. That's probably why we all had lessons. And that's kind of gone by the boards, I would say. All right, we have an update for you. And we've mentioned this, of course, in the last couple of days and beyond here on ATN. But that captured Israeli soldier, Shalat, is in Egypt and is on the way to Israel. And the first groups of Palestinian prisoners are being released from the Israeli jails Tuesday, of course, in that historic prisoner swap that some are questioning, like, really? One for how many? But that's how they roll in Israel. They weren't going to let this guy dangle. So they made the deal, and it truly, historic isn't the word for it, but it is, because that hasn't happened before. Not that many, anyway. Letting that many go for the one is incredible. It's incredible. And it shows you the lengths that they were willing to go through to make that happen so that they could get Shalat back, and not worry so much about, ooh, you know, how's this going to be perceived? How's this swap going to go down? You know, we need to get our soldier out of there, but, you know, that's that negotiating with terrorists or negotiating with the enemy kind of deal. And there's no love loss, obviously, we know that, with the Palestinians. So the first were seen leaving. And remember, this soldier has been in captivity for like 5 years. So 96 Palestinians released in a really, really heavily guarded convoy because there was concerns that someone would try to pick them off. They had their hands and feet manacled, and there was actually, it was quite a show, I understand. 1,000 police officers were along that convoy route, and some 477 Palestinians will be freed on Tuesday, many of them serving life sentences for terror attacks in which dozens of Israelis died. What a deal this was. Total, 1,027 Palestinians will be free as a result of this. Wow. 79% of the Israelis say they support the deal. Only 14 of the people were opposed.